This podcast is part of the Midwest Podcast Network. Find out more about our other shows and how to support our network at MidwestPodcastNetwork.com.
Everybody, happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year. Happiest of newest years.
Welcome. It's 2018 now.
Yeah.
Another year gone by.
Another year. Another one for the book. What a year it was, right?
It was good for us personally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. No 2017
question. 2017 was 2018. It hasn't really been a year yet.
Yeah, it's too early to tell. 2017, great personal-wise. The world maybe took some hits.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. The horror genre, though, good for the horror genre, as we're going to speak about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not all bad. We'll get into that later.
Of course.
Yeah. Because that is what the show is about, so.
It just so happens. Yeah.
Some housekeeping things. If you want to talk to us, first of all, welcome everybody to Horror Movie Yearbook. My name is Tim.
What's up?
I'm one of your hosts. This is Will.
Yeah. I'm here.
You go by Will or Willie on this?
Willie.
Okay.
It's fine.
Sorry.
Either way. If you can come up with a cool name for me, just tweet at us.
I like your Twitter name.
Hemowiliac?
Yeah, I like that one.
That's kind of clever. Right?
No, I've always liked that one.
Yeah. That was my gamer tag for a long time.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. If you want to play Friday the 13th on PlayStation.
Hemowiliac.
I'm Hemowiliac 86.
And I'm Amy07, I think. Because I'm using my girlfriend's PlayStation to play Friday the 13th.
So if you want to play Friday the 13th, I'll play Friday the 13th with you.
Oh, she's mad at me for giving out her gamer tag.
Yeah, she'll be all right. She'll be all right.
Anyway, speaking of games, boom, segue.
Oh.
The Midwest Game Nerds did their top five of 2017.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be a game of interest on there for, I think, some of our listeners.
Okay.
Someone put it on there, but it basically is top five of 2017. Pretty self-explanatory.
Sweet. Yeah, for sure.
Good year for video games, from what I've been told.
Yeah, I didn't play nearly as many video games as I wanted to, but I mean, like, the ones I played, I enjoyed.
You played the new Resident Evil?
Oh, yeah. I really liked that.
Well, did you like it?
A lot.
Yeah, I've heard. Did you play the VR?
Yes.
How was that?
I didn't play the whole game in VR, because honest to God, I don't know how you could. Like, and it's not, like, it's spooky in VR. I'm saying I don't know how you could, like, physically, without, right, like, your eyes either hurting or you getting sick, because I just couldn't. But, like, for little spurts of time, oh, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Right.
It's neat. They're, like, yelling in your face and throwing shit at you. And it's cool. It's neat. Cool. Cool game, though. Yeah.
It,
if you're into
cool
horror stuff, it's worth checking
That's
out.
That's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Devil's Reject style, right?
Yeah, it's got that kind of vibe. I mean, yeah, it does. There's kind of like a creepy redneck family and stuff. So, yeah, totally.
Cool.
Breaks away from the Resident Evil stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad at that.
Is it, what were the big, were there other big horror games this year? Yeah, Friday the 13th.
Well, Friday the 13th, yeah, that was a bigger one. I'm trying to think of anything else that I, no, I mean, I know that, The Inpatient got pushed back to this year now.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to The Inpatient.
Okay.
It's a prequel to Until Dawn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I, like, loved that game. The horror genre in games is really doing pretty well.
Right.
Having a bit of a resurgence, actually. I think, like, a lot of the PC games, like Amnesia is one that was really big. A couple of the Slender games, the Slenderman games and stuff, those started to kind of kick horror back into kind of popularity, and just like we're kind of seeing in movies now, I feel like games are kind of coming back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. We need a new, like, Silent Hill, though, right?
Right.
It's been a while. I can't remember the last Silent Hill I played. It was like years
I've ago. Never played one.
PlayStation 2.
Mario Odyssey has some ghosts in it.
There you go. Some booze.
Some booze.
Does it have King Boo? Is King Boo in it?
I don't think King Boo is in it, if I recall correctly. Or at least I haven't got to him. I'm pretty far into it. I don't think King Boo is in it.
King Boo's my boo. Yeah.
So go check them out, everybody. Midwest Game Nerds. Preacher's not on the air. Westworld's coming back, though. You can listen. If you're watching Preacher or Westworld, check out Westworld FM and Gone to Texas, the Preacher podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it for house cleaning. If you want to email us, Willie, where can they email us at?
horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or you can, you know, find us on all the social media, Facebook, Horror Movie Yearbook on there, or HM Yearbook at HM Yearbook on Twitter. If you want to tweet at us. You know, and then like rate and review us on iTunes, please. We always mention that. You know.
Oh yeah, apparently that's like a big deal. That's how people find the show. I learned that today, it really goes by audience interaction. So yeah. We've got some nice reviews on there if you can.
We do, yeah. No, if you could add one to it, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean anything good, bad, in between, let us know. You know, we like to hear from you, so any ideas for maybe future commentaries or you know, series you want us to talk about maybe in the future? Whatever. You know, throw it out there.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Willie, you ready to jump in this time machine?
Yeah, yeah, we're not going back too far.
It's still running after we took it forward.
I can't believe it. I was worried about it. I thought it was going to run out of gas or something.
Right. It didn't work that
way. I thought we were going to get trapped in the future.
In 2018? Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Yeah, we are going
to... We caught up to ourselves.
Willie, give me a... Let's hop in the time machine, give me a time machine noise, and let's go all the way back to 2017. Yeah, I gotta get the dust out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back in 2017.
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woo.
The year of a lot of things. The year of me losing a lot of famous people that I cared about deeply.
Yeah, we lost some people, didn't we?
Yeah. There were three folks in particular that I took pretty hard.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorite directors, Romero.
Yep.
One of my all-time favorite actors, Bill Paxton.
Yep.
And one of my all-time favorite musicians, Tom Petty. That was rough. Mm-hmm. It was a rough time for me, but I'm all right now.
It was bad. It was a rough year for that. We did get to see George Romero one last time.
We did, yes.
In 2017.
Which I'm very grateful for.
We did have some good personal news, Willie. Yeah. You are pregnant.
I'm not pregnant, but my wife is pregnant.
Yeah.
We're pregnant. Is that how do you say that?
Your wife is pregnant.
We're pregnant. My wife
is
pregnant.
Yeah, no, you say we're pregnant. I mean, if someone's like, hey, be specific, you're like, no, my wife is pregnant.
Yeah, like, obviously, yeah. Look at me. Do I look, you know, I don't know. I've been eating a lot of fast food lately. You know, we're having a baby, which is pretty awesome. She'll be here in March, as long as she, like, holds on. Please hold on until your due date. Please,
yeah.
Please, please, please. Because we bought a house.
Yes, you did.
At the tail end of 2017. And so we've got a lot going on. If I seem a little less on my A game than normal, I don't know how good my A game really is.
Yeah.
But just, you know, forgive me.
You go, I don't know how good my A game really is. And I just go, yeah.
You're like, yeah. <it's
laughs> oh, no. No. Your A game is much stronger.
Forgive me because I have a lot of stuff going on.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I forgive you. And
thank
plus,
you.
You're always on your A game. So.
I try to be. But no, good year. Good year for me. Good year for you as well.
Yeah, I got engaged.
Yeah, another huge
last,
life.
Last week. For now, unless I give out our gamer tag on the air more.
Careful with that. You're going to bleep it out.
I'll probably go back and delete that. Honestly, I think I gave out the wrong one anyway.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it was correct anyway now that I think about it. So.
Yeah, you're fine.
So yeah, got engaged. I will be running a marathon in 2 days, like a full marathon. So I've been training for that.
Oh, okay.
So that's
yeah,
a
you're
for
traveling
me.
For this marathon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll be doing it at Disney.
At Disney, do you get a cool, like a bitchin' medallion for this one?
Yeah.
Usually do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen...
I've never done one here before, but you get cool ones.
Yeah, I've seen you and your fiancé's medallion collection. It's pretty sweet.
Oh my goodness, we have the official fiancé of Horror Movie Yearbook now.
Oh my gosh, yeah, right. We do. That's awesome.
This is
that's
exciting
awesome.
News. So, yeah, big year for us.
She's making weird faces.
Big year for Willie and I.
Yeah,
let's talk about everybody else.
It's a big year for some folks.
Yeah, you remember last year, like, we came into this podcast and we're like, we both said we're going to find positive stories because last year was a bummer as well.
Well, I mean, it was a bummer, and I don't know if you recall correctly, and I'm sure you're going to bring up at least one or two maybe news bits from our supreme leader. I don't know.
Snoke?
Yes, basically. But if you guys recall correctly, we recorded, and I don't want to get too political, but we recorded on election night.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, we were distracted the whole episode.
Because they,
I think I remember the... Oh, gosh, I can't remember which exact episode it was, but it was...
Literally... Tim, halfway through recording, things started to take a turn.
Yeah.
And you could hear us gradually kind of get less focused on the show and more concerned.
Well, I'll say this because, yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to get too political here.
I don't either.
People have their own politics.
Absolutely.
You could probably parse through and figure out minor willies if you want. Who cares? But let's just say I think things were unexpected for us.
I didn't see this one coming. Like a lot of people.
So things were unexpected. And yeah, go back and listen to that episode. I think it was like a 2000s one.
It's probably super funny, actually. like if now that you know the full, if we haven't mentioned the context before, now that you know the full context,
right,
you're probably going to laugh really hard at the episode.
Right.
So
let's start. Let's take a look at some news bits. So yeah, last year we came in and we're like, we're only going to bring out good news because everybody's focusing on the negative.
Yep.
This year, neither one of us really had time to research any good news. So
I mean, so
I got what I got.
you're going to get what you're going to get.
January 20th. Donald Trump is sworn in as the 45th president of the United States.
January 20th.
January 20th.
It hasn't even been a full year?
It has not.
Holy smokes.
January 21st. Millions of people worldwide joined the Women's March in response to the inauguration of Donald Trump.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah. The women's movement would be a theme throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
February 11th, North Korea prompts international condemnation by test firing a ballistic missile across the Sea of Japan. Another theme throughout the year.
Yeah.
Is North Korea acting
absolutely
up. Like, yeah.
Real quick, I just want to mention before you continue. What do you remember what day the election was? Was it, because we have two November episodes.
It was the early one then.
So November 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the class of 2009.
What were the movies then?
Drag Me to Hell. Drag Me to Hell, The Collector, and Orphan.
Oh my God. We may have been our most distracted probably during The Collector, and then Orphan, we lasered focused
yes.
during Orphan because we yes. were not.
We also played a horror movie Idol on that episode.
Oh, very nice. Well,
yeah. I mean,
go back and listen to that one. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, please do. Anyway, sorry, Tim.
May 22nd, a terrorist bombing attack at an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England kills 22 people and injures over 500.
That unfortunately becomes a bit of a trend, too.
Yep. August 21st, a total solar eclipse nicknamed the Great American Eclipse. I'd never heard that Mm-mm. other than Wikipedia. Is visible within a band across the entire United States of America, passing from the Pacific to the Atlantic coast.
Did you check this bad lad out?
I think you and I did, didn't we?
We did. We shared a really beautiful moment together.
We got the 7-Eleven glasses.
You got some pretty cool, some pretty bitchin' 7-Eleven. They looked like 3D glass, like old school 3D glasses,
old school
almost,
3D
right?
Glasses, yeah.
And I think for a moment you and I were both concerned about putting these on our head, but you did your research and found that these were, in fact, they were selling schlocky ones.
They were legit. Yeah, 7-Eleven was legit.
They were legit.
Yeah.
But some places, like, you know, were selling some schlocky ones. I don't know where, but like ones that didn't work. So people were like staring at the sun and like doing permanent damage to their eyes.
We were working with people that were wearing welding masks.
Yeah.
Which I, boy.
Yeah. Those work.
Do they work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was a little hesitant about that.
No. But, I mean, the welding mask is okay. You're good to go on mm-hmm. that. But I too looked through the welding mask.
Okay. Yeah, we don't notice any long-term damage. Now, do you remember our president? Do you remember the subtle eclipse?
He stared directly at. There's a pretty good picture of this gentleman staring. Gentleman. There's a pretty good picture of Trump standing and looking directly at the sun. It's very funny because I believe Melania is next to him, looking properly through like some sort of viewfinder.
Or not stopping him, if I recall.
I don't know.
It was
funny.
It was a nice was moment of levity during the eclipse because we didn't know what was going to happen.
Whether or not you liked the guy, it was a humorous moment.
It was, yeah. August 25th through the 30th, Hurricane Harvey strikes the United States
yep.
Category 4, causing catastrophic damage to the Houston metropolitan area, mostly due to record-breaking floods.
That was rough, yeah. It was terrible.
Uh-oh, guess who's back September 3rd?
Okay.
North Korea.
There they are.
Sixth and most powerful nuclear test.
Okay. Yeah, they're in the news today.
Yeah, they're back today, aren't
yep,
they?
Yeah, yeah. They're talking about nukes again.
September 6th through 10th, September was a rough month. August, September. Caribbean and United States are struck by Hurricane Irma, a Category 5. And then just 2 weeks later, Hurricane Maria strikes similar areas, making landfall on Dominica as a Category 5 hurricane and Puerto Rico as a Category 4.
Lots of hurricanes, lots of Kim Jong-un.
Yep.
Lots of Trump.
Yep.
Interesting year.
October 1st, 58 people are killed and 546 injured when Stephen Paddock opened fires at a crowd in Las Vegas.
That dude, obviously, like the hurricanes break your heart to see all those people homeless or killed or injured, losing pets, losing loved ones, belongings. But there's something about those shootings, man, that just or bombings, acts of violence again. I don't know. Like for a couple of guys that love to watch gross, brutal, gory movies and whatnot, I can't even begin to tell you how horribly disturbing I find all that stuff. Yeah. It's like that's the stuff that scares me in real life.
Yeah,
you know, it breaks your heart. This one in particular, I don't know what it was. It just
I remember I woke up early and it was like going on. I woke up early in the morning and like it just like the news had just hit. Oof.
Yeah, it's terrible. It gives you chills, you know. Yeah. Anyway,
We're gonna close out the year here. December 14th. This is a big news story, entertainment wise. Walt Disney announces that it will acquire most of 21st Century Fox, including the 20th Century Fox film studio, for $66 billion.
Yeah, quite a purchase.
Oh no, we're gonna close it out with this. Sorry, this is a good news story. Last month,
that last one was not. We will get a Disney produced Alien film at some point, though. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. Yeah, yes.
You get to do something with that property. It's
no, they're gonna. It'll keep going. They'll have some sort of other branding for it.
But this is a big one. Last month, a woman came forward. This is my favorite news story of the year. She claims that she has sex with ghosts.
Okay.
And she has given up men to because she finds it more fulfilling to have sex with these ghosts. Amethyst,
the ghost sex is better. Is that what we're saying? Okay.
Yeah, let me read the story for you a little bit here, just so you can get a better idea of this young lady. Amethyst Realm, which if you were going to tell me, her name is Amethyst Realm, I would say, wow, she probably has sex with ghosts. Like, that is a ghost
that's
sex
an obvious
name.
Choice.
A 27-year-old spiritual guidance counselor. Bravo TV, which I read this, I always put that in quotation marks, claims to have had sex with at least 20 ghosts and now prefers them to real-life men. So, she says it all started 12 years ago when she and her then-fiancé moved into a new house and a strange energy turned physical, touching her, which eventually led to sex. It started as an energy, then became physical, she said. There's pressure on my thighs and breath on my neck. Ooh. I just always felt safe. I had sex with the ghost. You can feel it. It's difficult to explain. There was a weight and a weightlessness, a physical breath and stroking, and the energy as well. The ghostly affair carried on for 3 years until her human husband walked in on them. He came home from work early on day and saw a man's shadow through the window.
Ooh.
Yeah. She says she's had at least 20 sexual ghost partners. And,
whoa. Okay.
She wants to get pregnant. Now she wants to get pregnant with a ghost baby.
I don't know if that can happen. I here's the thing.
She's done research, she says.
That she can get pregnant by a ghost?
She says, I've done a bit of research into phantom pregnancies. There's a possibility that it is a ghost in you, but people don't know how to carry it to full term.
Isn't that called an immaculate conception at that juncture?
Yeah.
Right? If an invisible force has sex with you and impregnates you, I can't get into that. I'm upset about the disappointment she will certainly face as she continues to try and get pregnant by the ghost. I mean, hey, if she likes to have sex with ghosts, I'm all for it. Go nuts. You're not hurting anybody. Have a good time.
The byline to the story is, this woman claims she has sex with ghosts. A paranormal expert tells us if that is possible. I'm not going to read if it's possible because I like to believe that it is.
Sure. Well, have you ever seen The Entity? It's non-consensual ghost sex. There is a ghost rape in the film.
Right. Well, Ghostbusters has like consensual.
That has. I think it's consensual, right?
Ray seems pretty into it.
Yeah. Like at first he's shocked, but then he goes, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, if you're looking for more.
Yeah, a more upbeat version, perhaps. But if you want to get crazy, The Entity is pretty rough. So, it's got Ron Silver and Barbara Hershey in it. So,
right.
You know, a couple
those
powerhouses.
Those are the only two examples of ghost sex I can think
that's
of.
That's all I can think of.
They don't have sex in Ghost, right?
No, they don't have sex in Ghost. They have very sensual moments together, right? Like the pottery.
The pottery is what I remember.
But he's still alive in that part, isn't he?
There has to be more ghosts.
She makes out with Whoopi Goldberg. Who's possessed at the time by Patrick Swayze. But they show you Swayze.
Man, ghost is crazy.
It gets weird, dude. Seriously, it gets weird. Reevaluate that movie. Like, honestly, it gets bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, not too many ghost sex movies.
If you know of any that we're leaving off, please feel free to email us.
I'm down to watch some more ghost sex. I think it's pretty cool.
We should do a ghost sex episode.
Like a ghost sex episode?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can have a ghost on the show.
I want to have Amethyst Realm on the show.
Yeah, let's see if we can call her up. Yo, tell us about this
ghost. If you have had sex with a ghost, please feel free to call us.
Oh, please, God. No, seriously, send us an email. I want
to
know.
Send us an email. I will give you my phone number and we will talk to you.
Yes. I am 100% okay with this.
That's it for the news of last year.
I will not give you my phone number. You can have Tim's.
There is no way.
You can have Tim's.
All right, Willie, let's talk a couple movies. We had a vote a few weeks back. Thank you to everybody who voted. We had a vote. Wanted to pick our third movie. And
Twitter polls are fun, man.
I have fun with them.
Aren't they fun to watch?
They are fun to watch. Yeah. It started off really even. It started off with Devil's Candy.
Yeah. I'll be honest. That's what I was rooting for. I liked everything on the board, but I Devil's Candy was a little bit. That was like the an underdog. You know, like I was really hoping that it would.
It got hot early too.
It did. Yeah. It did. Yeah.
I was rooting for it too. But this movie won. Split.
Yes, another movie I enjoyed quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Split, directed by M. Night Shyamalan. Though Kevin has evidenced 23 personalities to his trusted psychiatrist, Dr. Fletcher, there remains one still submerged who is set to materialize and dominate all of the others. Compelled to abduct three teenage girls led by the willful observant Casey, Kevin reaches a war for survival among all of those contained within him, as well as everyone around him, as the walls between his compartments shatter.
Yeah, it's a cool synopsis, actually.
Heads up, everybody. If you're spoiler phobic, if you have not seen Split, Get Out, or It, particularly Split and It, because I think Get Out's kind of unspoilable.
Split's got
the biggest spoiler, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, if we're saying M. Night Shyamalan, you should know by now that he likes to pull his twists out.
Yes.
And I don't want to ruin that for you, and there's more stuff, honestly. This goes even further than just an M. Night Shyamalan twist. I don't want to ruin any of that either.
Mm-hmm.
I probably already said too much, so I'm going to stop talking. Go see Split or watch. It's on video and everything now. You can rent it.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. So
we're going to spoil it, though.
We are going to spoil it, yes. Like, now.
So. We're going to spoil all of these movies, but this one especially.
This one especially, yep.
Willie, go nuts and spoil it. What did you... spoil Split.
Split.
What did you think of it?
I loved Split. I did not know, I don't believe I did know what Split was going into it. And I'll get into that in a second here. But as its own film, before we get into the, Split's a kind of a semi-sequel to Unbreakable, which is my favorite M. Night Shyamalan film. It is only very, very, it's set in the Unbreakable universe. It's not really terribly related to Unbreakable yet. But of the Bruce Willis character, makes an appearance at the very end. There we go. We spoiled it. Getting that, which I thought was very cool. It was a neat way to tie it into a movie that I enjoy quite a bit. Now, getting into it as a movie on its own merits, I really dig Split. And Split, I like Split a lot because it is completely carried by James McAvoy's performance. And his performance is fucking awesome. I'll drop an F-bomb for McAvoy.
Always really good, but
always really,
really
good.
Really good here, I thought. Yeah.
So good here.
Shyamalan, he's always been pretty good. Well, no, I remember The Happening and maybe Adrian Brody in The Village.
Well,
but he's always gotten pretty good performances in his earlier work.
He gets pretty good performances out of sometimes actors that I'm not. It's not that I don't like McAvoy. I like McAvoy a lot. I've seen him in plenty of things I like him. But he's not a guy who stands out to me all the time. And I'd say the other... I'm trying to think of another role where he stood... probably the X-Men movies.
He's very good in those.
But a lot of that, I'll be honest, he gets a little overshadowed by Fassbender. Not his fault. Fassbender is just a presence. But in Split, I mean, McAvoy's playing legitimately like a dozen different characters. And the thing that's so brilliant about his performance is... he doesn't change his attire all that much between characters. I think once or twice he does. He's not throwing on, fright wigs and stuff all the time. I mean, he's changing up his appearance here and there, but for the most part, it's in the performance, and when he walks out of the room as character A and walks back in as character B, I don't see McAvoy. I see that character. Like, okay, now we're with the kindly old lady, right? Now we're with the big, tough, brooding guy. So, like, I don't... The fact that I see past that, and I believe that each one of these is... I believe that he becomes this person. Like, that's brilliant. Like, the fact that he could pull that off, the performance. Because it could come off so corny, right?
It's a premise that could very well just dive into camp.
Completely.
Especially...
And it flirts with it at moments. Yes. Yeah. There are moments where it does flirt with camp, but it never crosses the line.
No, and his movies have... Shyamalan's movies have done that before. They have jumped... The Happening jumps straight up into camp. Whether on purpose or not on purpose.
It does, though. Yeah. And there's no question. You're right. Absolutely. Mostly because of Marky Mark. He's so funny in that movie. If you haven't seen The Happening, or you have and you haven't seen it in a while, just watch it again.
Yeah, watch it again. Marky Mark's really good, and Zooey Deschanel looks constantly like in awe of everything that's happening.
Everything is the most beautiful thing she's ever seen. But Shyamalan impressed me with his last film, The Visit. It did have some moments in it that I wasn't necessarily nuts about, but overall I walked out of that movie going, wow.
The kid rapping?
It's not very good. We've talked about that on the show, believe it or not. we've devoted more time to the kid rap than we probably should have. But I was impressed by it. And I was like, okay, we're on the right track. With Split, I'm like, all right, Shyamalan's back. He's a director that I'm now going to pay attention to again. Because I ignored him for a while there, admittedly. I never watched The Last Airbender. I never watched Lady in the Water.
We watched After Earth, though.
I did see After Earth, but I would not have seen After Earth if it was not for a podcast. Right. I'll tell you that right now. I would have gone my life without seeing After Earth. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But with Split, he solidifies himself as a director that I am interested in and that I want to see to continue to follow. We'll see what happens, obviously, with Glass, which is going to be the follow-up to this and Unbreakable. I'm very curious. I'm super psyched that McAvoy's back. And both Bruce Willis and Sam Jackson from Unbreakable will be back as well. And most importantly of all, perhaps honestly, she's jettisoned herself to the top few, if not the coolest, best acted scream queen, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Like in everything she's in, right?
Mm-hmm.
What have we seen her in recently?
The Witch.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Look, this is somebody. I'm somebody who wasn't terribly nuts about The Witch overall. I admittedly need to give it a rewatch, but she is wonderful in the movie, right?
Yes, yeah, I think she's fantastic. She was in Morgan, which I did not see.
Did not see Morgan, but
yeah, she's going to be in the New Mutants.
Yeah, so she has kind of started to make a name for herself in the genre. I'm not sure that's something she's going to stick to. I don't know if. You know, I mean, I hope she doesn't get pigeonholed in doing, you know, just horror, because I think she's an actress that could do beyond that. But I hope she doesn't forget her roots. I hope she has a similar kind of vibe with what, like, maybe a Jamie Lee Curtis has done with her career, where she's stepped out and done comedies and action movies and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
dramatic work. But then she, every once in a while, she'll touch base with the genre that kind of brought her into the limelight. Really like Anya Taylor-Joy. Awesome.
Super cool. The scenes between her and McAvoy are very...
They're crazy good.
Very good.
And she's very young, too. I mean, she's like a young, up-and-coming actress.
Yeah, I think she's...
She's got a very long career ahead of her, hopefully.
Yeah, I think she's early 20s, I think.
Yeah. Yep. She's super good. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed Split. As its own movie and also as a sidequel to Unbreakable. And it's those two performances that really carry it for me. And it goes places. It gets pretty dark. Like, he eats the girls. Like, he eats them.
Mm-hmm.
He devours them. Because he becomes the beast, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you find out that that's his superpower. That's his superpower is essentially to be the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't turn green and get giant or anything. He does get, like, more, like, cut, right?
He's like, yeah, and I thought that was, like, I thought that was the twist, what happened in the theater.
That he has superpowers.
Yeah.
That's the first...
It builds to that.
That's the plot twist, right? That's the self-contained split the film twist. Absolutely. No, you're right. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
But he gets jacked, right?
He gets jacked. He can like climb on walls and stuff. He's pretty sweet. That part is one of those parts.
Could have been campy.
Could have been campy, and it might be for some people, but I thought it was so like ballsy.
It was, right?
Or gutsy, maybe is a word too.
Unnerving too. Yeah. Like that visual of him like Spider-Maning up a wall.
That worked for me. I'll just echo what you said. It's a movie that, I've seen some people write about how it could be maybe offensive to people.
Yes.
I kind of think, I don't know, I'm not going to tell people how to react to it. I mean, if you're offended by it, you're offended by it. I just think it is a, it's very much, because it kind of like delves in the superhero realm and the horror realm. It is a little bit exploitative. It is a little bit trashy.
No, it is. Yeah. It is. But
I think he's good when he dips his toes in a little bit of trash too.
No, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, The Visit did that too. There's a little bit of trashiness about The Visit, yeah, for Visit sure. Did. No yeah. question. About mental health actually in The Visit. But sometimes, like you said, I don't want to tell anybody how to feel about this movie, but sometimes we have to remove ourselves a little bit from reality, and especially given where Shyamalan places this film in terms of the universe he's placing it in, this is a heightened reality. This is not, Shyamalan is not saying here is an accurate portrayal of somebody dealing with a multiple personality disorder. He's not trying to make that film. Mm-hmm. If he was trying to make that film, and this is how he portrayed it, that would be embarrassing.
Yeah, he's using it as a plot device to move forward what is essentially a supervillain origin story or a supervillain story.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody who robs banks, a professional bank robber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't rob banks in space.
Right.
But you can take the idea of a bank robber, somebody who robs banks for money, and you can place it in another world, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same. It's not the same thing, but it's similar. So.
No, yeah, and I agree with that. And a movie doesn't necessarily have to be everything at one time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're offended, it is what it is.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. I agree.
For me, I was not personally offended by it. Right. So.
Right. But I think it's interesting too. So he has DID, dissociative identity or split personality.
Yes.
Is in the movie, which is something that I think has been debated amongst people in the field. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
No, but I think you're right. I think it's one of those things where people have been very much, even in that field, have been back and forth about.
Back and forth whether or not it's something that exists.
Yeah.
Or if it's something, to take seriously. But I think what's interesting is it gives him, there's an interesting interplay and there is an interesting like underlying theme. It gives him kind of an out, which is really interesting in 2017, that the man is essentially the villain in this, and it gives him an out to be like, oh, well, that wasn't me, that was this other personality.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It really is.
And the thing is, because, like I said, you believe him.
Right.
You believe each and every character, especially given what happens at the end when him turning into the Beast. He is not himself at that juncture, right?
Yes.
Or maybe he's his true self. I don't know how to read it, but you feel for him in a way, right? I mean, this
you do.
This is a horrible. He's doing horrific, despicable things. He eats people,
and I think that's what it comes down to for me. Is like, he has an out here. Like, okay, it's not him, but it is him. Like, he's eating these people. Like, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
So, and I do think there is an interesting Casey and Anya Taylor-Joy's character is Casey. Yeah. She's a survivor of abuse, which is another thing we see in a lot of horror movies. She's a survivor of abuse, and in this movie, that kind of makes her stronger and gets her to overcome the obstacle at the end of it.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
So I do think it's an interesting movie to watch in 2017 in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I do think it's nice to have. This is where M. Night is at his best. In that kind of, this is in his wheelhouse, that kind of Tales from the Crypt style. This and The Visit are very much like that. Honestly, The Village is like that too. I kind of dig most of The Village.
I dig most of it too.
Yeah.
The thing about Shyamalan is I think when he gets too, when his ideas overtake him a little bit, that's when he struggles. Like Lady in the Water is way too big a movie for M. Night Shyamalan to try to be making, in my opinion. I'm not saying he couldn't make a movie about like a mermaid, but that wasn't the mermaid movie to me.
Well, Sixth Sense works because it's a quiet,
it's so contained and small, ghost story. Right?
Yeah. Unbreakable is kind of the same way. It's very slow burning and yeah.
Yeah. It's when a very small, like it focuses on one character primarily or two maybe in some Signs. Science takes an alien invasion and condenses it down into like a, I can't say that word, wow, into like a farm.
That's right. I think we've been mispronouncing Shyamalan.
That's fine. He'll be all right with it. But it takes this huge, like there are two kinds of alien invasion movies. There's Independence Day, and then there's Signs. Right. You know what I mean? So it's if Shyamalan had tried to make Independence Day, it would be horrifically bad, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. That's why when he gets into stuff like The Happening, it's too big for him, in my opinion.
You know? No, I agree. He's best when he's laser focused on a small story and a theme with a mid budget.
Yes,
because he's good. I think he's good with handling theme. And some people might say he's a bit heavy handed, but whatever. I mean, at least there's something. Something to clutch.
I'd rather be heavy handed than have nothing to chew on.
One more thing I wanted to ask you: did you revisit Unbreakable after this?
I sure did.
How'd it hold up?
Oh, I love that film. I still love it.
Okay.
For me, it aged maybe better. Now I feel even better about it. There's just something about that movie, man. It just, I don't know. It doesn't glamorize the idea of superheroes. It actually kind of brings them down to like the street level and the down in the dirt a little bit. Mm-hmm. But somehow it makes you feel that weird sense of joy when you used to read comic books as a kid and the good guy triumphed over the bad guy, right?
I remember the ending of that movie getting chills. First of all, Bruce Willis, excellent. Sam Jackson is amazing in that
movie.
He's
so good.
When Sam Jackson, it's weird. Sam Jackson can be not my favorite actor and then my favorite actor, depending on who he's working with and how locked in he is.
Him and Bruce both can be...
No, good point, yeah.
Can be very lazy.
Yes.
Or they can bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both great in that movie. I find myself being a kid who grew up with hemophilia, which is different than what Mr. Glass has, but being a kid growing up with hemophilia and being limited in what I could do physically and being a fan of superhero comic books, I find myself relating to Mr. Glass.
That's interesting. I never thought of that. That's cool.
He's the character I cling to. Now, obviously, when you find out what you find out about Mr. Glass, your perception changes, but I find it interesting.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was Split.
Yeah.
Well, you ready to wrap it up?
You should check it out, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's...
If you've listened to this, I'm bummed.
Yeah, me too. All right, Willie, let's talk about some other movies.
Yeah, sure.
This year. We're going to just go through. Let's talk about the main box office,
okay.
Like the big dogs.
Okay, not just horror. We're talking about just movies in general?
Movies in general, okay. The top 10 movies in general, box office-wise. Number 10, Justice League. Willie, you just saw Justice League.
I just saw Justice League. Justice League's fun.
I had fun with it, too.
Yeah, I mean, like it's dumb, but it's fun. Like, there is no sin that Justice League commits. This is coming from a big Marvel proponent. Like, I'm a sucker for Marvel Studios stuff. There's no sin that Justice League commits that hasn't been committed by a Marvel movie at some point.
Right.
So.
No, I would agree. I liked it. I had fun.
Yeah, the villain's lame. Some of the CGI is kind of shoddy. You can tell at points where there's two directors maybe pulling a little bit in different directions.
That kind of made it fun for me, though.
It's a little fun.
Because I'm a fan of Whedon's work, his writing, and I can be a fan of Snyder. So it's but I've definitely seen all of their stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was fun for me to kind of pick out what
was cool.
What. No, that's fun. Number 9. Oh god, Logan. Good for Logan.
Another superhero movie.
I love Logan.
Logan's really good.
Yeah. I watched that the other night. The first half of it.
Yeah, I like Logan a lot. It's very different from the rest of the genre, so.
Yeah. Number 8, Despicable Me 3.
Have never seen any of the Despicable Me films.
Worst DVD menu in the history of DVD menus. We used to play it at the video store.
Plays that Pharrell song over and over, right?
No, even worse. It just goes, one of the minions goes, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop,
beep,
boop. Yeah. Oh, God. Number 7, Thor Ragnarok.
Another superhero movie. Wow.
Oh, don't worry, there are more.
I loved Thor Ragnarok. Out of the superhero movies you've named so far, that's probably my favorite. Mm. And I liked Logan a lot, But I like to walk out of the theater jumping up and down, and Logan is not a jump up and down movie.
So that one scene where he stabs everybody in the head. One of the 10 scenes where he stabs somebody in the head.
They watched the film Olympus Has Fallen before they made that film. A lot of head stabbing.
Number six, a little movie that we have seen and talked about a little bit here. It.
Yeah. Whoa, wait, what?
327.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is worldwide stuff, I think.
Way to go, It.
Yeah. That's an R-rated horror film.
That's incredible.
Right?
It became the highest grossing, right? R-rated horror film?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We'll talk about It. I'm a fan. I'll just say that right up front.
Yeah, we will. We'll discuss it later. Number five, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Number five. Number four, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I liked both of those films.
I liked both James Gunn movies this year because Belko was sweet too. Yeah. Two completely different movies.
They couldn't be more different.
It's almost like he got the cheery, happy Guardians of the Galaxy out of his system and decided to write the bleakest.
He's like, I gotta get gross here. Yeah, that's a rough movie.
I appreciate that. Number three, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Yeah. I have not seen Wonder Woman.
You have not seen it? I've seen it twice.
I haven't seen it.
It's quite good. You should watch it.
I want to see
it. You saw Justice League and didn't see Wonder Woman. Were you confused the whole time?
No. Why?
You're like, who is this? Who is Gal Gadot?
No, I was not confused. I've seen Batman versus Superman, so.
Oh, so oh, she was in that, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they play that sick guitar riff when she shows up.
Hell yeah.
I wanted to check out Wonder Woman. I was out of town when Wonder Woman came out. And it was one of those things everybody I knew had already seen it. And I'm like, well, shit.
Right.
And I didn't go by myself. But yeah, no, I will see it. I know I will. I'm very excited to check it out. I have heard the No Man's Land sequence is quite delightful.
Oh, it's one of the best.
Yeah.
One of the best sequences in comic book movies. Number two, Beauty and the Beast. I didn't think it made that much money. I mean, I knew it made a lot of money, but I didn't think it made that much. Number two.
Man, Disney's cleaning up on this list.
No.
Is there such thing as making too much money?
Yeah, it's Disney.
Okay. Beauty and the Beast, it's fine.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's fine. I guess I struggled to understand why it happened.
Right.
And I like Luke Evans. I like...
News Gets Stone.
Yep. I like, what's his name? Help
Dan
me out.
Dan Stevens. Josh Gad.
He's fine. Josh Gad. I like Josh Gad a lot. Him and Luke Evans are great. Dan Stevens is fine. I mean, he's trapped in lukewarm CGI. I didn't ever buy the Beast as being...
like an actual thing?
No.
Yeah.
Which bummed me out, because he should. Emma Watson's fine in the film. I don't know. I walked away going, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
If that's what it takes... for a younger generation to get to enjoy the story of Beauty and the Beast, who am I to say that that's an inferior version?
Right.
It's not my preferred version.
No, Ron Perlman will always be the Beast.
100%. Him and Linda Hamilton all the way.
Number one. This is going to be a big shocker here. Disney. Bring it at number one. Star Wars. TLJ.
Okay.
Star Wars. Tommy Lee Jones. A very divisive film. People... lost friendship.
Did you just say Star Wars Tommy Lee Jones?
TLJ.
I have not been in those kind of heated movie discussions.
Yeah, you and I got into it.
Kind of, right? Yeah. Well, it's because
the only
I hadn't
time
seen
we've
the film.
Disagreed, by the way, in the past year or so. We've been called out for not disagreeing, by the way.
Have we?
Yeah. He's like, you guys ever disagree on anything? I'm like, no, we're always right, so why would we?
Yeah, why are you asking that question?
We got into a discussion, a back and forth, about Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Well, the funny thing is, I had not seen the film yet, and I was just bitching. I was just trying to be a jerk.
Yeah,
so,
you had read the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And texted someone who had seen it.
Yeah, so I deserved that one. Once I saw the film, like I should be doing... you and I pretty much agreed on it. So maybe they're right?
Yeah, our biggest... I think our biggest disagreement, period, came over one time we got really mad at each other over Alien Resurrection.
Yes, because...
which is the stupidest movie.
Because you said that Alien Resurrection is a worse film than Alien 3. And I said Alien 3 is a worse film than Alien Resurrection.
Right.
I want to, I'll publicly state something right now.
Okay. Okay.
Alien Resurrection is a worse film than Alien 3.
Right.
You were right, and I now agree with you on this. So,
did you watch them again recently?
Not that long ago. Okay. Alien 3 is a better
so
film.
We don't even.
Does Alien 3 still piss me off?
I think...
Absolutely.
For you, Alien 3 might be a little bit like The Last Jedi is for a lot of people.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Okay. Yeah, in its handling of characters that I enjoyed from previous installments. Sure.
Right.
Yes. We'll go with that.
Right.
It's also...
Oh, I don't want to spoil
it. It's also kind of a confusing mess of a movie, which The Last Jedi I didn't feel like was a confusing
movie.
But that's beside the point.
I think the argument could and should be made that The Last Jedi is just a better movie all around than Alien 3, probably.
You know it is. Yeah. However, they are both better than
Alien Resurrection. Written by director of Justice League, Joss Whedon. Half-director of Justice League, Joss Whedon. Just a couple... Real quick, couple movies that couple other horror movies in the top 50 office wise. Number 16, Get Out. Number 23, yep. Split. Number 28, Annabelle Creation.
Cool.
Good for Annabelle.
That was on our poll as well.
Yep. And number 47, Happy Death Day, which I did not see.
I'm bummed.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I heard kind of good things about
Me
it,
too.
Actually.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah, horror movie wise, good year,
yeah,
I think.
I dug it. I'm happy with the genre right now.
Yeah, I think I was planning on doing like a top 10, like writing one, but I'm not going to have time. And by the time I have time, it's going to be like 2 weeks into the January. And I still haven't seen stuff like Shape of Water or... And I did an Excel sheet and like I watched 51 horror movies this year.
Holy smokes.
51 new releases.
I did not watch that many
horror movies. I have been training quite a bit this last month for running, I have been on my computer watching a lot of these. But like it got to, I ranked them from 50 to 1.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this and like, I like pretty much the 30 of these. 30.
That's awesome. That's good. So, that's good.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Big year. Jigsaw came back.
I just want to say, too, it was a huge... We've talked about this in private, but you and I both love our indie horror.
Yeah.
We enjoy seeing guys like Mike Flanagan, like up-and-coming guys that just keep on getting better and better, but have worked their way through that independent filmmaking system, right?
Yes.
But we do miss studio horror.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's not a lot of quality studio horror. I think James Wan has proven that you can make quality studio horror that makes money and does well. But I miss some of that stuff, and I think so do you, right? I mean,
oh, totally. It and Annabelle were probably two of my favorite theater-going experiences
right?
this year. I thought they were so much fun.
Makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Get Out was a studio film as well.
Get Out was another one that was,
so,
a blast.
No. Happy to see that the genre is being taken a little more seriously now. It's nice to see.
Right.
It is. I hope we get to see some of our favorite, you know, horror properties maybe get a decent comeback here.
What's nice is, too, a lot of the indie horror directors that we have liked the past few years are starting to step up a little bit, step up into
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Mike Flanagan. Perfect example.
Flanagan, who, yeah.
He's naturally made... A lot of times in Hollywood right now, you see a young indie director has a hit indie film, right? Does very well for itself considering the budget, what they had to work with. I'll use an example. Colin Trevorrow, right?
Yeah.
He made Seeking a Friend for the End of the World? No. God, what was the first film we made? I always get that mixed up. Anyway.
You talk about
Safety Not Guaranteed.
Good point.
I enjoyed the film quite a bit. Actually, I wound up enjoying Jurassic World. I'll be on Front Street. I had fun with it. But anyway, you see examples like this where young indie director does well and they immediately get thrust into these big budget studio films. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that. But I always love seeing a natural progression of a career.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like an early Spielberg who gets bigger and bigger with each movie. And you feel like they took the thing they learned in the making of the previous film and applied it to the next film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think guys like Adam Wingard,
Flanagan,
watching those guys kind of...
Is it Sandberg?
Yep.
That did Annabelle Creation?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Let's look at, there's so many examples. I'm seeing this a lot in the horror genre. I'm loving seeing these guys get this work. I mean, look at the guys who did, who are doing Pet Sematary.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they worked their way up. I don't know. It's just it makes me happy to see that. So I'm done talking about that now.
No, totally. Totally. I'm with you. One of the movies we mentioned there, we're going to talk about right now.
Yes.
Get Out.
Okay.
Get Out. I'll say this about Get Out real quick. No, I might save it. I'll save it. Get Out is directed by Jordan Peele. You know Jordan Peele?
I do know. I'm familiar with Jordan Peele.
You like Key and Peele?
I do like Key and Peele.
I like Key and Peele,
I'm
too.
A fan. I always liked the mock NCAA football team. I thought those were the funniest things.
Yeah.
They just killed me every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get Out. Now that Chris came out in February of this year, now that Chris and his girlfriend Rose have reached the meet the parents milestone of dating, she invites him for a weekend getaway upstate with Missy and Dean. At first, Chris reads the family's overly accommodating behavior as nervous attempts to deal with their daughter's interracial relationship. That's tough to say back to back, interracial relationship.
It is.
But as the weekend progresses, a series of increasingly disturbing discoveries lead him to a truth that he could have never imagined.
Yeah. Yeah. Things get weird.
It's made a lot of money. Get Out, Willie. I think we've talked a little bit about this movie, but if we're talking 2017, this and It are two movies that have to be talked about.
Oh, no, there's no question. There's no question. And a big part of this one is just how fresh it is, right? It just feels so refreshing.
No, this year, between this and Raw and, XX, it was a year for different voices, whether it be from African-American or female directors.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It was nice.
No, it's cool because when you get a different voice, when you have a filmmaker who comes from a different place, they bring things to the table that there's no way that the average white guy director could do, right?
No, it's
and
horror.
It's not a knock against average white guy director, but you are getting a viewpoint and you are getting, in the case of Get Out, a genuine viewpoint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I can't even imagine how embarrassing this film would have been if, like, random 20-something white guy director.
Colin Trevorrow?
It. If Colin Trevorrow directed Get Out, it would be wrote and directed Get Out.
Watch the hell out of that movie.
I would, and I'd laugh at it, but no, it's cool to have different voices. You're absolutely right about that.
It's horror is a very white male dominated.
But it's you know what's funny about that though is I have been to plenty of horror conventions.
Right.
I have been on plenty of horror movie message boards. It's a pretty inclusive group.
Totally.
They all seem pretty laid back, pretty friendly, pretty nice. So I don't think it's a product of the fan base that trying to boot people out. I think it's, I don't know what it is. I don't know.
That's a wider white male anyway. White male dominated system is something we can just lob at horror movies.
No, you're right. The film industry.
But one of the things that. When we watched Tales from the Hood, one of the things that was so refreshing about that movie when we watched it is we had kind of been watching all these other movies but written by directors we love. I mean, Carpenter, Romero.
Mm-hmm.
But this is... Tales from the Hood was something so different than what we had been watching.
Totally.
At the time. And it's fantastic. And Get Out is, in that same vein, Get Out is a better movie because Get Out...
No, Get Out is a better... Yeah, no, it is.
I watched this movie again a couple weeks ago. What's nice about Get Out is... Divorced from everything else, it works on every level.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, the direction is like, the confidence that Jordan Peele has with this movie, and which is incredible because this is a guy who's, he's directed plenty, I mean, he's done plenty of TV. Did not direct Keanu. Keanu, did he?
No, that was one of their directors, I believe, that they worked with on Key and Peele.
Right, but he's got a resume behind the camera and in front of the camera, right?
Yes.
He's only behind the camera on this project. This is a feature-length film. It is not, despite there being some humor in Get Out, and there is. There's some very darkly funny moments and some just funny moments. This is by no means a comedy. It's by no means even a horror comedy. It's not. It's a horror film and a drama. Two genres that he's not known for. But he handles this thing with so much confidence from beginning to end. Every creative decision from on a shot-by-shot basis to the casting to the performances to just the look of the movie to the score, it's like, it sounds like it's a cliche, but it's firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. Seriously, everything.
He does a commentary, and it's quite good. And I listen to it, and I think he does a little bit too much of explaining what his movie's about, but whatever. It was interesting to hear him talk. But one of the things he said that I thought was fantastic and fascinating is he said like, hey, this is my first movie, and like he said I nailed it. Like, don't expect this again from me, because you might not get it ever again. He's like, I hit this movie. Like, I knew exactly what I was doing. Like, I've never felt more in tune with the movie, which I think is refreshing to hear a director say that.
No, good for him to say, like, look, I this.
He's like, know. Look, yeah, this is really good. I did a really good job here.
Yeah, don't condemn me if I have a sophomore slump, you know?
Yeah.
No, Jordan Peele, man, he killed it. I think the entire cast is great. It's a movie that, as I'm sitting there in the audience, I'm watching a film from the viewpoint of a young black man who is about to spend a weekend surrounded by white people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And obviously on a surface level, I could understand how that could be nerve-wracking, right? Right. I get it. Like, I get the concept. But what this movie legitimately kind of opened my eyes to is the various ways that these people at this party interact with him, the questions they ask him, the body language they give him, everything they do. There are these little subtle moments of, I don't even want to say accidental racism, but it is. There's an earnestness to some of these. I mean, some of these people are straight up racist in the movie, but there's an earnestness to some of these people where you can tell these are conversations that Jordan Peele has probably had, right? These are questions Jordan Peele has been asked.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I go, God, I've probably asked a question like that at some point.
No, I have.
God, I've probably said something like that at some point.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. Look, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay? I guarantee you that most of us out there, if we really try to dig through the memory banks, we've probably said or done something that was pretty boneheaded, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a difference between that and blatant racism, obviously. But it can be just as hurtful. Mm-hmm. It can be just as awkward and uncomfortable, and right? I mean,
he goes, when I set out to write, he set out to write this during the Obama administration, which I think is fascinating in itself, that he set out to write it. It came out in 2017, and I don't know if there, I can't remember a horror movie that's been more of the moment, even in 2017, than this movie, especially with what 100%. Everything that went on this year. But he even said, he's like, listen, he said, I know there are worse things to do, but like, he's like, this stuff happens, and my goal here was A, to spark a conversation, and B, to just kind of play up that aspect and say like, hey, this is pretty, it's pretty screwed up too, because he's just a person trying to exist in his own skin.
Yeah, he just wants to hang out with people and
right
have a weekend away, right?
Right. Yeah,
but he knows going into it that this is that's the really sad part about it, is he knows going into it this shit's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
Despite her saying like everything's gonna be great and blah blah blah, he knows going into it that,
and she's fantastic in this.
No, she's really good.
There's that scene
I saw her on Girls originally.
Okay.
I
saw her as Peter Pan that one time.
Oh, okay.
Peter Pan. She's Brian Williams' daughter.
Okay,
from
cool.
The news.
Yeah, no. She's very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But no, there's, sorry, I interrupted you there.
No, what I wanted to say real quick is, yeah. You mentioned that he was writing this during, while Obama was in office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about Obama for a second, okay? Here's a guy in the ultimate position of power, right? Mm-hmm. President of the United States. Who's he surrounded by each and every day? Old white people.
Yeah.
Who's he outnumbered and outgunned by every day?
Yeah.
Old white people.
Yeah.
Have you seen before and after pictures of Obama when he took office and when he left?
Yeah.
That was a rough 8 years, my friend. So, you know, maybe there's something there,
yeah,
too. Like,
it's very, yeah, very
aware. No one tried to brainwash him, I don't think. Not that I'm aware of. Nobody tried
maybe
to straight
ways.
Up murder him that I'm aware of. Right. But I'm sure he was asked pretty ridiculous questions, and
I believe he was asked pretty ridiculous questions in like the town halls that I saw.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're right.
No, that is what it is. Oh, the scene. It's the scene where Rose and Chris. She's fantastic in the scene because the movie doesn't work if their relationship doesn't work. Chris and Rose, and it does because I bought into it. And there's that scene where like she's getting all worked up about her parents and the way they've been treating him and the way mm-hmm. people have been acting around him. She's getting all worked up about her brother. Oh my God, Caleb Landry-Jones.
Oh my
God.
What a maniac. Dude, it's terrifying.
He got Caleb Landry-Jones and Lakeith Stanfield, who was another loose cannon, together to, he corralled them into a movie.
Yep.
And they're amazing in it.
Yeah, they go for it.
But she's getting all worked up and you buy it. Like, she's so good in that scene, you buy that she's legitimately upset.
No, everything
she
does.
Totally not.
The thing too, obviously, one of the twists along the way, and we warned you, spoilers, is that she's in on it, right?
Yep.
And by the time we get to the revelation that she's in on it, it's not terribly surprising because you start going, how could she not be, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a viewer, you're like, that wouldn't make any sense if she's not. But throughout the course of the movie, before you really have a decent understanding of what these people are up to, which is sick and twisted and awesome and so over the top and nuts that I love it. But when you get, before you get that vibe, before you just know, I'm walking into a horror film, there's going to be some revelation here. You kind of buy into her, right?
Oh, totally.
You kind of fall for her in the way that he is. Like, he's buying into her stuff. He's buying into her bullshit.
I knew she was, I figured she was going to be in on it, and I was still bummed when it happened.
Right.
Because I'm like, ugh.
Because she's very cool. She just seems like a really, feels like a real human being, which mm-hmm. is nice as well, right? She feels like she's got these little faults and these little quirks, and she's not, you know, the perfect girl next door kind of, you know, it mm-hmm. just, she works as an actual person that you could see meeting in real life, which helps. And the performance is a big part of that. So you buy the relationship, which is good. And it is heartbreaking when you find out she's in on it. And then she becomes about as sadistic as anybody else in the film, right?
Yeah.
In like a different way.
Yeah.
Because Caleb Landry-Jones is like, he's like the crazy, like outwardly crazy racist, right? Like, he's that guy in life who like, he like,
does he want to like UFC fight him?
Yes. Multiple times I think he wants to. But he's that guy in society who like, he's wearing the t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She's like the scary closet
mm-hmm.
racist.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. When she's Googling NCAA prospects and like having her milk and her peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever it is she's eating, that is the scariest shit I've ever seen.
The movie casts two essentially maybe like icons of white liberalism in Catherine Keener and Bradley Whitford.
110%. I mean, Bradley Whitford, West Wing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
And Catherine Keener, just about every role she's ever been in.
Yes.
I mean, how genius is that?
No, it's really good. He said it too in the commentary. Everybody listen to the commentary because I'm just repeating it. But he said, like, I originally had written it for more of a, like, a stronger type, I think, for Bradley Whitford's character.
Like, okay.
And
physically?
He's like, like physically more imposing. And then he's like, no, it didn't. Like, Bradley Whitford was too, like, he was too perfect for this.
That was the right inclination.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple other things. Oh, one other thing about the horror movies, and you can go back throughout, there's been a lot of writing on it. We've talked about it. Horror movies have been very progressive in terms, I think. More progressive, I think, than a lot of genres.
I would agree.
Especially in terms of females. Maybe not so much as in African-American or minority characters. So
that has been certainly a slower journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was something that I caught and a lot of people have caught. There's a lot going on. We could talk about this movie a ton, but a lot going on with the sunken place there. He did some research and like he had a whole mythology for like a whole backstory for the bingo cards. And like the numbers on them are the amount of relics and artifacts they own that they are willing to trade. He based a lot of that on like the Knights Templar too.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They're kind of looking for a body to look for the Holy Grail of immortality and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Just a lot of stuff. The one other thing I want to touch on, and I don't think it's it's not. There are moments. This score is so good.
It's really, no, it's seriously, it's great. Yeah. Yeah, it's super unnerving.
Yes,
like super unnerving. Even in those quiet moments when before the shit kind of hits the fan, right? Even in their drive up, it's spooky.
Yeah,
you immediately know that you're in for something.
Yes.
So, and there's an incredible shot. My favorite shot is the what we find out is the grandfather inhabiting one of the I think he's like the lands, like he's does all like the like groundskeeping, right?
Yeah.
And he, the scene where he like it's in all the trailers where he like runs like the T-1000 that thing like I saw it in every trailer and that shot that thing freaked me out.
It's like, this weird like unnerving and funny. There's a lot of that in this movie. Unnerving and funny.
Well, you chuckle, but you're like sweating a little bit too.
It's been talking about horror and comedy have similar beats to them. It's all set up and payoff. Sure. So yeah. I think there is, and that's probably why a lot of my favorite horror movies are horror comedies.
Absolutely.
When I think about it too. So, Willie, anything else?
No. Get Out's awesome.
It is awesome.
It's great.
It's I think it's the movie. Like when we look back on it, for him to step up and do this, his first movie. Puts him up there with like I don't know, like it kind of reminds me of Tobe Hooper with Chainsaw. I know Chainsaw wasn't
it's pretty
his first
insane, right?
Movie, but it's kind of like that out the gate movie.
Yeah,
like that so
like hit a home run. Yeah.
So hopefully he doesn't make Eaten Alive. Oh God!
Oh my God, Jordan Peele. If you remake Eaten Alive, man, woo! Count me in.
Willie, let's talk some music.
Okay.
Of 2007.
Sure, let's do it.
We'll roll through these. Let's see if we know any of these songs.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
This is the Billboard Top 10 of 2017. All right. Number 10, Congratulations, Post Malone featuring Quavo. I don't know that one.
I don't.
Number 9, Believer by Imagine Dragons. I know this one because they've been playing it for the past month. It's the theme song to the college football playoffs.
Make me a believer.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know that one. Number 8, Body Like a Back Road by Sam Hunt. Sounds like a country song.
Sam Hunt is not a country guy, though, I don't think.
Oh, no? Let's see.
I think he's an English gentleman.
Is it an English country song?
Think.
No, this dude's got to be a country. No, he's from Georgia.
I'm getting him mixed up with somebody else,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I think you are. I think you're getting confused with Sam Smith.
Oh, I am. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got my Sams mixed up.
Number 7, Closer, The Chainsmokers featuring Halsey.
I think I know this. I know that Chainsmokers did a song with, God, I sound like such an idiot, did a song with Chris Martin, right?
Yes, I believe that will be coming up.
He talks about Spider-Man.
Oh, was that in the Spider-Man movie?
No, he talks about Spider-Man in the song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Batman.
And Batman?
Yeah, he sings about both of them.
Interesting. Number 6, Bad and Bougie by Migos. I know that one. I know Bad and Bougie.
I probably do. I don't know it like by title, but yeah.
Something Just Like This, The Chainsmokers and Coldplay.
That's the one. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The one. Yeah.
Yeah. He says something about Spider-Man, something about Batman.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not making it up. I swear to God.
Number four, Humble by Kendrick Lamar. I know that one. I heard the Kendrick Lamar CD. Like I would say that. Yeah, I know that one.
I don't know if I know it or not.
I know that one.
I don't listen to the radio. That's a problem probably for this.
Yeah. Well, I've been better here in the last three because I've at least heard them before.
Okay.
That first three was rough. Number 3, Bruno Mars, That's What I Like. That's what I like it. That's what I like.
Oh, yeah. Champagne on Ice, That's What I Like. Something like that.
I think
so.
Number 2, Despacito. Louis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee.
Despacito, right? Isn't that how it goes? Despacito. Despacito.
It's in Fast 8, if I recall. Did you see Fast 8?
No. Is the Biebs on this track?
Biebs is on this
track. Yeah, he's good in this one.
Yep.
I had no idea what they were saying for the first, like, dozen
times. No, but that's
times,
kind
I
of
guess.
How Fast and Furious soundtrack songs work.
Okay.
They're in another language.
I thought he was saying something about deceit.
No, it's just Despacito.
What does Despacito mean?
Despacito.
It means desperate?
Despacito in English. What does it mean? It's less innocent than you. Oh, come on. Despacito is absolute filth in English is what this says.
Oh.
Can
we say it out loud?
Show me. We already said that.
Yeah, we earned
we
it.
We said that F word today. Oh, it's like I want to breathe in your neck slowly. I still don't know what Despacito means.
Though. Yeah,
it's just a lot. I mean,
right in.
I hate to break it to anybody that is offended by this song, but oh my god, an ad is playing. But like most songs since the beginning of songs have been about sex.
Yeah, no, 90% of them. Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
It is what it is.
Sorry for the pearl clutchers out there.
Despacito.
Number one, Shape of You by Ed Sheeran, which I swear to God has been out for 3 years.
Shape of You.
Yeah.
I'm in love with the shape of you.
Seriously, right? How long has that song been out?
Yeah, no, it's... It, no, yeah.
Let me check.
Who does that song?
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, Star of Game of Thrones,
Ed Sheeran. A great moment from 2017. We won a trivia one night as our team name was Ed Sheeran, Star of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that was good.
Wow, that was released as a digital download. Ugh, in January.
That's why it feels like it's been out forever. It has been forever.
It has been.
Well, we're in 2018 now. Time to let it go.
Maybe we'll listen to some new music next
Write a new song, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, he probably... Did he write one for Game of Thrones?
He sang on Game of Thrones.
My dad has recently binge-watched... He watched the season 7 of Game of Thrones, and then now he has gone back and watched the first 6 seasons in
I swear, two weeks. I'm going to use it again. Fucking clue how your father could possibly even begin to comprehend anything going on in season 7. I don't understand anything that's going on, and I've watched every episode of that show.
I don't know how much he can comprehend because all he told me was, I like the dragons.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I like the dragons. And I do not have the heart to tell him that show's not going to be back for like 2 years.
No, it's going to be a while.
He was really these last 2 weeks. He's wasted some time here. He could have spread that out.
Yeah, he should have.
I think he had some vacation days.
Well, he was happy with it. I mean, you know, your dad's got killer reviews, though. Honestly, he finds what he likes about a piece of entertainment. He sticks to it. You know, I remember his review of Avengers. He's like, I like the Hawk.
The Hawk, yeah.
Yeah. Who is Jeremy Renner's character, of course, the Hawk.
So. Really indulge me for 2 seconds here.
Of course I will.
I want to do my top 10 real quick.
Songs?
I'm not going to write it. No, horror movies.
Oh, wow. I thought we were going to get weird. Okay.
Yeah, let me do this. I had a couple honorable mentions I want to do here. Cult of Chucky, which is awesome.
I did not see Cult of Chucky. I'm a horrible person. I haven't seen the last one.
I'll tell you which ones here you should see. You see Cult of Chucky. Creep 2, quite good. Do you let you see Creep?
Wait, is Creep 2 out?
Creep 2 is out for rent.
Okay.
Cult of Chucky is on Netflix. So is 1922. Quite good.
I haven't seen all three of those.
Belko liked a lot.
I saw Belko. I liked Belko.
Oh, God. Let me talk about Mother real quick.
You watched it?
I watched it. It's
oh,
out,
shit.
Out
you
for
watched
right
it?
Now. Yeah, I watched it. I was going to text you about it. Like, as I watched it, I forgot. I'm really sorry.
Oh, my God.
So, Mother. Here's the thing. You know what? Noah gets kind of crazy, too. But anybody who maybe has went to like Catholic school can tell you, like, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean,
it's about right.
It's in the you read the Bible, guys.
Both, like, at least half of it's pretty crazy, right?
Mother is quite like that. It's crazy in that sense of Noah.
I've heard Nikki probably shouldn't watch Mother right now.
Oh my God. That moment, I've heard people talking about being in the theater, and it was one of those moments where I wish I would have been in the theater for it, because I can't imagine. There's a moment in Mother, yeah, no, certain segments should not watch it unless they're fully prepared and know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Segment of the audience.
There's a pregnant woman in the film, and the film gets violent.
Yeah. Anyway.
There you go.
So Aronofsky, he's been like repeating himself though, like for the last, and that's why like I'm kind of down on this one because I feel like, come on, dude, I've seen it. But I will say this: the second half of it is wacky as hell. It's really funny.
Yeah.
And Bardem is, I like Javier Bardem quite a bit.
He's fun.
And Jennifer Lawrence is pretty good in this. So
okay. Cool.
I would
his muse.
I would not rush out to see this, especially if I were you. It's out to rent now. Know what you're getting in for, I'll say that. I can't believe a studio put this out either.
Insane, isn't it? They're getting bold, man.
Number 10. Okay, so here we go. Top 10. Number 10, I had Colossal.
Okay. I loved it.
I liked it. Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
Good. I liked it too. Number 9, I had Annabelle Creation.
I liked that a lot.
Yep. Number 8, a movie that I think you should watch when the mood strikes is Mayhem, the Joe Lynch.
I do want to check it out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's a more fun version of Belko Experiment.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I think it's a gore fest, but I think it's I think it's his, like, his most mature.
It's got movie. Stephen Yeun, right?
Yep. Stephen Yeun and Samara Weaving, who was in The Babysitter, the McGee horror movie this year, which was not very good.
Okay.
Number 7, The Devil's Candy.
Yeah, I love Devil's Candy.
Number 6, hit Netflix today, Super Dark Times. Super Dark Times is awesome. It's like it's the 90s movie I wanted for a while. Because it's like Stand By Me.
Okay.
But for like kids who like went through Columbine.
Oh,
like who
Jesus
grew up during
God.
That. It's so insane.
Okay.
It's really good.
I watched Bright, by the way.
Which one was Bright?
The one with Will Smith.
Oh my God, did you watch Bright?
David Ayer.
Tell
joint.
Me about Bright real quick.
I mean, I can talk about it real quick because it's got horror elements.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, man.
Is it?
It's like it's End of Watch, but with orcs and fairies.
No,
there's centaur cops in it. I'm not making that up.
So you are, let me ask you this, you're not a Max Landis fan.
I don't like him, no.
This movie was written by Max Landis. I'm okay with you not buying it. This is another thing we agree on when it comes to Max Landis. Yeah. I watch Victor Frankenstein. I don't know if any of these Max Landis fans out there ever watched that movie, but it's horrible.
No, I don't like Max Landis. He just kind of talks too much from my liking.
Yeah, he does.
You know what I mean? Like, you're a writer, just write your scripts and, like, stop.
Yeah.
Is
he the one that did that?
I mean, you can have an opinion, but, like...
He did the pro wrestling video, right? He's, like, mm-hmm. wrestling. And then he was the one that responsible for the Ray as a,
Yeah,
Mary Sue.
Mary Sue, yeah, he started that. I enjoyed Bright, actually. I had fun with it. I agreed with my wife in the fact that she goes, that should have been a series, not a movie.
Right.
Because the concept's actually kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little corny, but it's fun.
Is it like Alien Nation?
Kind of, yeah. Oh. Well, and here's the thing. So the humans are white people.
Okay.
Including Will Smith, right? The orcs are black people.
Okay.
And the elves are Jewish. Okay. That's it. That's the...
Jewish?
Yeah.
No, I'm fascinated by this. Yeah.
You know, the elves are the Jews, yeah.
Okay.
They run Hollywood and L.A. and all that stuff.
Oh, correct.
So 100%. I'm telling you, that's what this film is stating. It's interesting.
God, now I'm sold.
You got to check it out. It gets
well, David. I'll say this about David Ayer. I have watched quite a few. A lot of the racial stuff in his movies can be quite interesting. That is a word for it, isn't
this
it?
This is it's intense. Like there's like kind of inner racism with the orcs.
Okay.
Because you know, if you're not orc enough, then I'm telling you, man, it gets into some stuff. It's a little on the nose, but you got to watch this.
No, I'm totally going to watch it.
There's a line by Will Smith at one point, and I'm going to leave it at this. He says, fairy lives don't matter.
Jeez. Oh, boy. Okay. Sold.
You got to check it out. Sold. Anyway, go ahead, continue.
Number 5. Okay. It gets really, like, these top 5, I'm really splitting hairs here. I had it number 5. The only reason I really had it here is because it does kind of feel like half a movie.
Sure.
Or half a story. It doesn't feel like half a movie. It feels like a full movie, but it feels like...
Nah, I get what you're saying. I mean, you feel like there's... Yeah, no,
there's more to be... I know there's more to be told here, but it's fantastic. And we'll talk about it here in a second. Number 4, I had my favorite Stephen King adaptation of the year. Gerald's Game,
yeah. Yeah, Gerald's Game's great. It's really good.
Number 3, Brawl in Cell Block 99. Is this a horror movie? I do not know.
Close enough.
I have not felt more horrified during...
Close
a
enough.
Movie this year. Won't say anymore. Number 2, I had Raw, which I liked quite a bit. Actually, I loved Raw. And then number 1, I had Get Out. So there you go. I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay, cool.
I made it. Might as well.
Yeah, I think...
I spent time on this.
Yeah, no, you did good. I'm proud of you.
Where did I have...
Some of my favorites. I mean, my favorites would be It, Get Out.
Yeah, let me hear yours. Sorry.
It, Get Out. I enjoy both of those quite a bit. Gerald's Game is another one. This is in no order, but Gerald's Game... Annabelle Creation is on there somewhere. Yeah, I'm trying to...
How'd you feel about The Girl with All the Gifts? I forgot.
It wasn't bad.
That's one I want to
watch. It lost me a little bit.
I want to watch it again someday, but...
Like, yeah, I'll check it out again at some point. It lost me a little bit. I guess I was confused by some of the young adult aspects of it, which I don't have a problem with, but I just didn't get it. Life.
Snap. Yeah.
Life was sweet. It was so mean.
Did you like Life or Alien Covenant better?
Life.
Me too. And I liked Alien Covenant.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Did I think Alien Covenant was a good movie? Probably not.
Yeah.
Did I like Alien Covenant? Absolutely. 100%. Also Dug the Void.
I Dug the Void too, yeah.
Quite a bit. God, I'm trying to think anything else that I missed there.
Did you watch Little Evil? I can't remember.
I did watch Little Evil.
Did you like that?
It's cute.
It's cute, right? It kind of felt like a kid's movie.
It's barely a horror movie. You know, like, it could count as a horror comedy, but I mean, it's certainly heavier towards the comedy aspect. You know what I mean? Like, it's a comedy horror. How about that? Does that make sense?
That's fair, yeah.
Comedy heavy.
It kind of felt like a horror movie version of, like, stuff like family movies from the night, like Bingo. Remember Bingo, the movie about the dog?
Yes. Yes, I do. Oh, my God. Yes, I do. Devil's Candy. I forgot to mention
Devil's Candy. Yep.
I'm very sorry about that, but yeah, that's, yeah.
Let me quiz you on a couple here. Willie, you saw The Mummy, right?
I did see The Mummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had fun with it.
Willie, did you see Rings?
No.
Don't. Did you see Leatherface?
No.
Skip that one, too.
Okay.
Did you see It Comes at Night?
No.
It Comes at Night. Oh, I said this last week. It Comes at Night is really, really boring. And I've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
But I think it's good for people that are looking for an arty horror movie.
Yeah.
That might
can borderline not be called horror.
But there are about 100 better independent horror movies in the past.
Yeah.
10 years. So I just wanted to
throw some shade at.
Yeah. Willie, did you see Death Note?
I saw Death Note.
Lakeith Stanfield in Death Note.
I don't know what to say about it. Like, look, I'm probably going to get ripped to pieces online if I say I enjoyed it, but I didn't hate it. You got to understand, I've never watched the anime. I'm not a big anime guy.
No, me neither.
It's just not my thing. I've never read the manga. I'm not a manga guy either. I totally.
At least you say it correctly, unlike me who says manga.
That's all right. I totally get why people are into it, like, and I'm not taking anything away from those people, but I don't. The movie was my only version I'm ever going to see of this story, and maybe it is an inferior version, but I had enough fun with it.
I don't think there's a movie I've seen that moved faster than that thing.
That thing's brisk. The kills were really fun too.
They were.
Yeah.
I got the
And I like Willem Dafoe's character.
Willem Dafoe
cool.
was amazing.
He's kind of cool, right?
Period. Yeah. That's about it.
Right.
I think I've got over. So basically, Willie, of the big franchises that came out this year, Cult of Chucky is the best one. You should watch Cult of Chucky, but you should watch Curse of Chucky before Cult of Chucky.
No, I'll do it. I'll do a double feature. Yeah.
Because Don Mancini is great, and I can't believe he continues to make that franchise as good as it is.
I'll catch up on my Chucky, I promise.
Oh, you know what my least favorite movie of the year was?
Mm.
The Bye Bye Man.
Yeah. I know you weren't a fan. I can't think of a horror movie I saw this year that I, like, hated.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure I had one that I hated. Saw a couple comedies that weren't very good.
That's good. That shows you got good decision-making skills.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
All right, thank you for indulging me, Willie.
Not a problem.
And I'm glad we got to do that. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
It.
Stephen King.
Little movie called It.
Itty-bitty little film.
I read this for the first time this year.
You
I listened
did.
To it for the first time this year.
I finished it for the first time this year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah, I had attempted it multiple times. The book we're speaking of right now, just to make sure.
Yeah.
Never quite succeeded. I just guess I just wasn't ready for it, and then I finished it this year. Yeah. And not long afterwards, you read it as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it.
Me too.
We can the ending. You can probably find people talking about the book's ending. Plenty of places online. I think we both kind of have stated on here the book's ending is a misstep.
What are we talking about here? What aspect of the ending are we talking about?
Giant
spider?
No. I think that works pretty well.
Child orgy?
Spoilers for the book. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a child orgy. No, it's not an orgy. It's a child...
What's the proper term for
it? I can't think of it. It's... The male children take turns having sex with the female child. How about that? I'm not going to say the common slang term for it because it's gross. It's very uncomfortable. I think we both agree that we're not nuts about it being in the book. I don't like it.
It's consensual.
It is consensual, but it's also...
There is some interesting writing online from people who have like said, well, it gives Beverly agency. Like she makes the decision to do it.
Yeah, but so she didn't know. It's problematic for me. I think it's gross. Honestly, if they released an edition with it edited out, I
would buy that one.
Buy that version of it. I don't even think King likes it very much at this point in his life. I don't think he's going to sit there and try and defend it.
No, I don't think he...
He's on cocaine.
It's one of those things where, like, I got what he was going for.
I understand the concept. We probably could have gone another route with it. It didn't have to be the act of sex.
Yes.
To get there. It's weird. It was never going to be in any version of this film. Thank God.
But that part's cut out of the movie. Spoilers for the movie. Seven young outcasts in Derry, Maine are about to face their worst nightmare, an ancient shape-shifting evil that emerges from the sewer every 27 years to prey on the town's children. Banding together over the course of one horrifying summer, the friends must overcome their own personal fears to battle the murderous, bloodthirsty clown known as Pennywise. Willie, many people said, like most King works, this was an unfilmable book. I don't believe in that.
I disagree.
Gerald's Game was probably something that may have been more unfilmable, and I thought that worked. This is not unfilmable as long as you are respectful to the source material and make the right choices. I thought they were respectful for the source material and made the right choices. What did you think, Willie?
I agree completely. It's not unfilmable. Look, just because a book is long does not mean it's unfilmable. I think... We've proven that that's not the case. Things like Lord of the Rings, if you don't like him, you don't like him, but he shot that. He got all the major beats of that story. I mean, it is what it is. And it has been filmed once before, right?
Yes.
It's a TV miniseries. Whether or not you enjoy it, I guess, is probably based on whether or not you saw it as a kid.
Did you rewatch it?
I did, yeah. Does it hold up? Great. No, especially the back half, the adult portion, which we don't get in this film. That'll be saved for a part two. It doesn't hold up great. The kids portion still has some really solid moments. I'll say that. Or is it as good as this film? No, by no means. Tim Curry gives a hell of a performance, though. I'll say that. Different enough from Bill Skarsgård to where they both... It's like the Nicholson-Ledger thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're just two different sides of the same coin, so... I love this film.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're a fan. Yeah. Fan of the book
and the miniseries.
So
yeah, I love it. There's a feeling back at, okay. There's a feeling, and I don't know if anybody else has felt this. I'm sure that somebody out there has, where you go see a movie as a kid. Right. And let's say it was like, I think the first time I ever had the feeling was Ninja Turtles, the first Ninja Turtles in 1990, where I walked out of that theater and I was like on top of the world. Like, I was like, I immediately wanted to watch that movie again. Every scene in the movie raced through my head again. I was thinking about the jokes and the action scenes and all that stuff. I couldn't get the movie out of my head, and I had a big grin on my face afterwards, right? And that happens less frequently, unfortunately, as the years go by.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that the movies that I don't get that feeling with are bad. They just don't capture that certain feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, Get Out. Love the film. Did I walk out with that feeling? No. But that's not the kind of feeling that movie's trying to give you. I'm just saying, I think the last time before It, and I got the feeling with It, would be like a Guardians of the Galaxy. The first Guardians of the Galaxy, I walked out like, oh my God, like this, I feel like a little kid again. This movie did that for me. And for that, I have to say that it's my favorite horror movie of the year. I can't not, because I walked out with that, just that beaming feeling of like having really just watched something special that I think I'm going to watch for years and years. I think I'm going to have my kids watch it, this version of it, at some point when they're old enough to watch it.
Yeah, I've seen some talk about that. I don't think this is that inappropriate for, well, I'm not going to tell people what to show.
Look,
their kids.
here's my view on this particular movie, okay? If you're the age of the kids in this film, you can probably watch my kid will be able to watch the film.
Right.
In a lot of ways, this is a coming of age children's film.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing. I care about these kids in the movie. Like, I have read the book. I know, I probably know the fates of these characters, right? If they stick with what was written on the page. So I know who's safe, who's not, so on and so forth. But when I'm watching the movie and the kids are giving such good performances and the script is doing such a service to the child characters, I don't care about the fact that I kind of know where the story's going. I get invested in it and I get in it with the kids. And it doesn't take away from my enjoyment of the film. And Andy Muschietti does enough stuff differently. The director does enough stuff differently with this script, in smart ways. For instance, he removes a lot of the metaphysical stuff. Now, it's smart because, quite frankly, there's stuff in that book that to try and explain it on screen, that is unfilmable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way that the children's battle with Pennywise is described in the book, I'm not going to get into it. The way it's described is you cannot cinematically make any sense of that in the frame of a camera. So to cut that stuff or to maybe drop little references to that stuff is smart, I think. Honestly, I think it's slick. The other thing that I thought was really smart was that for the most part, they take the encounters that these kids have with Pennywise as kids and they either put new spins on ones from the book or they invent completely new ones. Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say that the new ones they invent are in most cases just as good as the novels. And the nice thing about that is if you're going into it knowing that book front to back or knowing the miniseries, you go in and you still have surprises, right? It's not slavishly committing itself to the book. So I think every decision he made in regards to the what to cut, what to change, worked for me. I really do.
Yeah.
My only gripes maybe would be I think Mike is a little underdeveloped out of the kids. Mike and Stan. Stan's a little underdeveloped, but Stan's role in the story, in the book, it does make him a little underdeveloped with the rest of the kids too. I don't think he's... I think he's the least developed in the book, so that didn't bother me as much. But with Mike, Mike was always my favorite character. I always, for whatever reason, I connected with Mike. Him and Will, or Bill, rather. I think everybody kind of connects with Bill because he's kind of an avatar for the reader. But Mike as well. And Mike's a little underplayed in this one. He doesn't get quite as much to do maybe as I would have liked. I'm hoping that means they're going to do more with adult Mike, who is... kind of, if you're calling them two separate characters, adult Mike and child Mike, adult Mike is my favorite, you know, out of in the entirety of the book. So I'm hoping that maybe they're able to do more with him. That would be my biggest gripe. Bill Skarsgård's incredible, though, right?
Yeah, who'd you compare it to again?
What's that?
Who'd you compare him to again?
Well, Tim Curry in the original.
Tim Curry,
First, yeah. So if you're putting those two side by side.
Someone else compared, and a lot of people have, but someone else compared him to Robert Englund, too, in Nightmare.
Terms of his performance, I just compared it to Tim Curry because they both play Pennywise.
Sorry.
But in terms of performance, no, you're 100, dude, that's 100% right. No, he's doing some very interesting early Nightmare on Elm Street things, right?
We haven't had an iconic horror character in a while, like a new one. What is? I can't even think of the last new one, unless you count...
The Bye-Bye Man?
The Bye-Bye Man went for it. Maybe Ghostface and Scream, if that counts.
Ghostface, maybe Jigsaw?
Yeah, you're right. Jigsaw's
just
good.
Just Tobin Bell's face, I guess?
Yep, you're right. Jigsaw's good. The puppet, too.
But... that's it, man.
Because we've got a lot of ghost stories recently.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Annabelle's getting there, iconic-wise, I think. The doll.
Yeah, Annabelle's a good one.
But Pennywise is...
He's bigger. He's bigger than Jigsaw.
I agree.
Yeah, he's bigger than... what was the other one I was thinking of that was like early 2000s?
Well, are you going to see people wandering around with T-shirts with Tobin Bell's face on them? Should they be? Absolutely. Will they be? Probably not.
Do they have that? Oh, my God.
I'll find one for you. look on Etsy for Tobin Bell T-shirt.
All right. Well, you keep talking about it. I'm looking right now.
Are you going to see people walking around with Pennywise T-shirts?
Yeah.
Or you know, T-shirts at the balloon or something? Yeah, I think more so, certainly. There's a certain amount of iconography when it comes to...
Just a heads up, there is a red bubble, of course. There's a Tobin Bell t-shirt. It's like puzzle pieces that put together Tobin Bell's smiling face.
Are you going to get it?
It's $21, so yeah, probably.
Okay. That's a good life decision. But yeah, no, I think that...
No, sorry. Okay. One more thing. This is one of those template t-shirts that say, like, I think my soulmate is. And it says, I think my soulmate is Tobin Bell.
Are you going to get that shirt?
It is $20, so actually a better value.
Then you could get, like, a little Tobin Bell pin that you could put on, like the lapel, you know?
I've thought about starting to collect pins.
Pins are kind of neat,
They're
right?
kind of neat, yeah. Willie, please continue
I've interrupted you four times. You're okay. With Pennywise and It... There's, I think what you're saying earlier about that horror icon, I think one place where we have not experienced this in, I don't even know how long, maybe the first Scream, like you said, is the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, so like Billy the Puppet from Jigsaw, I'd say he's an iconic horror image, mm-hmm. or even maybe Annabelle, the doll. But neither one of those series of films were this thick in the ether, right?
No, didn't we go opening night on Thursday night? And like there was like an energy to
it was
a horror
buzz.
Movie. It was awesome.
Like people were amped to see it. It is the only thing I can imagine that would be similar to... Now, I saw the Friday the 13th remake in the theater.
Right.
But I saw it, I think, at a matinee. It was like the next weekend or something. No one was there.
I saw it Friday night, and that was kind of the only other horror movie recently that I could think of that kind of had that.
Okay.
Saw a little bit, because remember, Saw had kind of that limited release, and then it hit other cities.
Okay.
And like you had kind of heard about it, and like I went and saw it, and I remember there being a big energy around that one, too.
Yeah, but this felt like going to like a big-budget Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Like where you got like people like... just have an excitement about them.
Yeah, because most of the horror movies that get big like this, kind of, there's a groundswell. Like, it just, it hits, it comes out, and then there's a buzz around it once the actual movie's released.
Yeah.
This one, I don't remember the last horror movie like this.
There was a build.
Yeah, like, and you remember the tracking, the box office tracking, like, as you, like, watch it. It just kept going up and up to the point where, like, this is going to be insanely big.
Well, the marketing was so good.
It was
really right?
Good. It was really good.
Like, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the reason I went. I was so excited for
it.
I don't
Brothers,
do this.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, you win some, you lose some with marketing. With them.
Yeah.
Unite the Seven.
Unite the Seven. I was so excited for it, and I'm telling you, I don't do this. I'm not this level of fanboy, and I'll fully admit it. That I pretty much went and saw Annabelle Creation. To see the It preview.
The King thing?
Like, I was looking forward to Annabelle Creation because
yeah.
it was getting good reviews, but I'm not going to lie to you. The final, like, the thing that finally pushed me to go to the theater to see it was the It preview.
But that was so cool because it was like a throwback to stuff they would do in, like, the 70s and 80s where, like, Stephen King came on and talked. He gave a goofy-ass Stephen King introduction, which I
yeah.
loved.
It somehow turned Annabelle into an event.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Right?
Yeah, I loved it.
I don't know. The whole thing... I can't wait for the buzz and the build for part two at this point. Like, this movie made me feel like a kid again. It was awesome. I had a great time with it. I can't wait to see the director's cut. Word to everybody out there, not that I, you know, by any means, you know, want you guys to skimp out and not buy the Blu-ray, but there's going to be a director's cut Blu-ray at some point. So, I don't know, maybe think about it. I might just buy both. I might double. See, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I don't do that. I don't
right.
have. I'm going to have even less expendable cash here soon, right?
Right.
I don't care. Like, I kind of want to. Like, I want to
watch.
You
can budget around a double.
Yeah, I know. I can handle it. I realize that. If I can't handle that, I'm in trouble. But still, but I'm very smart with my money, and I don't spend like that. I can't think of another movie I'd buy twice. There's a time in my life where I would have bought everything
right.
twice because. If it had a new collector's edition box.
I own so many copies of Evil Dead.
Sure.
Yeah.
We all have a couple of those, right? I have like four copies of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
No, I have like five.
Yeah.
It's
I have
stupid.
One of them.
I don't
so.
Need that, right?
Yeah.
But nowadays, I'm a little more careful with that stuff.
Right.
However, I think I would throw all that out the window because I just want to watch this movie again.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Yeah, I've been waiting for it to hit. I think it hits next week, doesn't it?
Yes.
On Blu-ray and VOD,
yes,
and stuff like that. But I kind of want to, that's the thing, is I kind of want to dive into the special features of this. By the way, very nice of them to actually put together a Blu-ray release that's worth buying, even
like
if it doesn't
nice
have
one.
The theatrical cut. All I ask for is what Get Out did even, which is throw some deleted scenes on there, throw a making of, and then throw a commentary on there. And I'll be happy for like a first time around. Like, oh, and then I might double dip if I love the movie enough if you put together a collection.
I'll support you.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of deleted scenes, I think you heard about this deleted scene. Was a super like flashback to, I think it was the 1700s, and Pennywise was like eating a baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have a screen cap from the deleted scene.
Oh my goodness.
Of Pennywise pre-transformation into the clown. Pretty creepy stuff.
Yeah. There's another deleted scene that they released today.
Like, oh, did
online,
they?
Online. About the bully. The bully gentleman.
Oh, okay.
The young man,
Henry Bowers.
Henry Bowers. Yeah.
I heard it kind of just kind of explains where he, I don't know, what he did before the finale of the film.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to feel like a fan again, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
I've had that feeling a couple times this year, and this was nice. First time I read the book. The only thing, other thing I wanted to touch on it, well, because we've rambled, but that's all right. It's the end of the year episode. Yeah. We're celebrating. It was the year. It was a comeback year for Stephen King a little bit. Maybe
it was.
Not even a
comeback.
Yeah, kind of. It was a big year for Stephen King.
Well, you know, it put him back in people's
public
conversations.
Consciousness. Yeah. I read the book he wrote with his son this year, by the way.
You liked Sleeping it, right?
Beauties. Yeah, I liked it. Joe Hill's book, though, his other son, Strange Weather, it's four novellas,
mm-hmm.
is awesome.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to when people start adapting Joe Hill books.
Okay.
They
did Horns already, right?
What's that?
They did Horns already.
They did Horns already. I liked Horns.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Someone's doing The Fireman, too, and I'm interested to see that, because I liked The Fireman when I read it, too. But as far as King goes, we had Gerald's Game. I loved it.
Yep.
You loved it, too?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it... I don't know. You can't make a better Gerald's Game movie than
that. Impossible.
It improves on the book, and the ending is up there with Get Out in terms of timeliness in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had 1922, which was a lower level one, I want to say. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of nice, too, because it was just really, really solid. Did you end up seeing that?
Not yet. It's on the list, though.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Tom Jane should stick to Stephen King movies. Because he's fantastic.
He's like weirdly like really good in them. Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, he's good at that main King character, which is weird because that King character
tends to not be
interesting. But Jane is, he's perfect. I wonder if maybe some of their
Tom Jane. I like Tom Jane. I genuinely do. He seems like a guy who's very, very earnest about, like he wants to. He's passionate about his roles, right?
Yep.
But he brings a certain manic quality to any role he's in, so he's able to take that kind of vanilla King lead,
mm-hmm.
and put just a tinge of crazy or out there in it, and I like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I
dig it. There is a dark the Dark Tower.
Sure.
Once again, I told you earlier today, but I always forget about the Dark Tower, and I will remember it because there was also the Mist television show on Spike. Didn't watch it. And Mr. Mercedes on
the TV Guide channel.
Something. I think it's DirecTV. And I watched the first episode because they put the first episode online, and it's awesome.
Mm.
And I really want to watch the rest of it. I hope they put it on Netflix soon because I have no idea how to watch the rest of it. I'm not getting DirecTV. I mean,
no, not for one
bless
show.
Their heart. And Leatherface was not good enough. That was another DirecTV exclusive.
Mm.
I will not be getting it. But it was a big year for King. Even Stranger Things, you could kind of count as a King because it's so heavily influenced.
Sure. No, I wouldn't. Yeah.
By Steve.
And we got a lot more coming. Castle Rock. I'm interested to see what shape that takes, right?
Yeah.
It Part 2.
Oh, did you see that interview with Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba?
Yeah. Idris wants to be part of a successful Stephen King franchise. No, Idris isn't a bad choice, actually.
Yeah. I just liked that it clicked with him when they mentioned Mama.
He's like, oh.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, big fan. Have him call me, please. Yeah, it's just so casual.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that. We got, there is a Pet Sematary remake.
God, who are the dudes?
Starry Eyes.
Thank you, which I liked.
So that'll be interesting. And I, you know what? That's probably just the beginning of it.
We're about to see a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a handful of King properties that deserve a reinterpretation, if you will.
Flanagan has came out and said a couple days ago he wants to do Dr. Sleep, the sequel to The Shining.
Not opposed to that.
Me neither.
I like Flanagan's his ability, once again, to, like early Shyamalan, to take these small stories and make them seem like the most important thing ever that's going on in the world. So I would love to see Flanagan try Cujo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is good with those, like, those not mid-level, but, like, mid-page.
After watching Hush and Gerald's Game, I mean, to me, Cujo's a no-brainer. But I could see him wanting to do something like Dr. Sleep and getting bigger, because he does deserve to naturally progress to a bigger and bigger stage, you know.
Yep.
And Dr. Sleep's more of an epic in its scope. It's a little more, not globe-trotting, but globe-spanning almost. There's a bigger threat at play there, it feels like, certainly than Cujo.
And Lisey's Story is the other one that he came out and said he wants to do. And I just read Lisey's Story this year, and it's a book that, like, when I read it, I'm like, it was okay. And then, like, it's grown.
It's King's favorite work of
his
own.
It's King's favorite work, and I can see why. It's a really sweet book.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those books that I can see people saying will be hard to film.
Yeah, no, I get that. There's a lot of King that I think is would be difficult to film. But no, I think a Cujo, we could do an Cujo. I think that that's something that we could consider doing. I'm trying to think. I wouldn't be opposed to a new Christine.
Christine would be sweet, especially if they jumped the forward, like they did with It. They jumped the 50s to the 80s.
Yeah.
And have people running around with, like, 80s music and nostalgia machines killing people.
That'd be really cool, actually.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, we need a remake of that.
Who's the most cocaine-fueled director we could find?
There you go. Can I get Jeremy Saulnier to do, like, one of the Bachman books, please?
Yeah, that would
to do, like, The Long Walk.
I wanted to... I'm not going to end up timing it right, but I'm doing that marathon this weekend. It's 4 hours. I wanted to listen to The Long Walk while I did it.
That's pretty cool.
Still might.
Very meta of you. Yeah, no, I'm excited for the King revival, renaissance, whatever the heck you want to call it. I'm sure he's excited, too, because he's getting paid.
Yeah. Hey, he's worked hard, barely remembers half of his work in the 80s.
Him and Tabby got to eat, man.
Yes.
You know? And his adorable little dogs and
Molly.
Molly is his dog.
Is her name. Yeah. Okay. I follow the King on Twitter.
It's a corgi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The King's good for some dad jokes on
Twitter. I saw him in Colorado once with a pair of corgis.
Oh, you in person?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, he had one on each leash. He had two corgis with him. He was by himself minus the corgis. He walked right. I was getting picked up from work when I lived in Colorado for a year or so, and I walked out to the car. And my mom's like, oh, Stephen King just walked by. I'm like, what? And I look down. I'm like, oh, that's Stephen King. Very cool. I let him be. I didn't want to bug him.
Right.
Now, if I had if it was less fleeting, I probably would have said hi. But
yeah,
he was walking his dogs. Let him walk his dogs.
All right. Well, you ready? That was 2017.
That was a good time.
Yeah,
honestly.
I enjoyed it. I like our year-end episodes.
I'm just happy. Look, the world might not have been a wonderful place all around in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be positive moving into 2018. There were some major highlights in 2017. You know, we had good years personally, and horror had a good year.
And horror movies are all about, a lot of the times, finding hope in horrible situations.
And we said it, I think, pretty early on in the run of this show, with what's going on in the world today, with our current political climate, we're going to get some crazy shit.
Right.
So at least we can be excited about that.
And one thing we've learned from this podcast is we go through these news each year, and a lot of times it's a real bummer.
Yeah. And usually, but to be fair, usually the best films are in the biggest bummer years.
I know. It is funny. Well, you want to, because we told the people we're going to be kind of doing our own schedule coming up. Do you want to pick a year right now, or what do you want to do?
No, let's leave it up in the air right now because of how crazy things are.
Okay.
We might need to change it up.
Okay. I'm good with that. I just want
to. We promise you'll get another episode in a couple weeks, though.
Yeah. We'll,
no question.
Yeah. We'll be back.
But this way, I don't break promises.
No, that's fair enough.
I feel bad enough that I've broken a couple, so.
Yeah, we should have talked about it in our pre-production meeting.
Yeah. No, that's good. Well, we'll keep it a secret for now, mostly because we don't know.
All right. Well, that was 2017.
Heck yeah.
HM Yearbook, Horror Movie Yearbook on Facebook, horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com. Listen to all the other Midwest Podcast Network shows.
Yep.
Watch all the movies.
Yep. All the movies.
That's it. Bye-bye, man and woman.